DTU Wave 89 recap here on Como Estas. It's myself, it's Rob Viper, it's no one else. I haven't given out the link yet, but I'm doing that right now. We're here, is it Friday? It's Friday.
It's the Friday 16th, here. Yeah.
To talk about the DTU show that started on the 15th. So we're just going to, probably quicker than we originally planned because the show went so long, go through the card and just talk about our thoughts while they're still fresh in our mind. Did you overall like the card?
I did. I really enjoyed it. It was a little frustrating at first, you know, because the whole IP previews thing didn't go as planned, which we kind of expected, but at least they had a backup plan, which was good, because if there was no backup plan, I would have been slightly more annoyed.
Yeah. We got to see the show. I guess the big story on the technical side is that the pre-show, which was, we have 16 viewers. That's disturbing on all counts. The pre-show went on without a hitch. And when they tried to switch the iPay-per-view, whatever they tried to do, whatever system they were going to use did not work. And so we were kind of just hanging out for a half hour before they went back to what they were doing originally. And what they were doing originally, as some people figured out, was just broadcasting on YouTube. So it sounds like they're going to do a make good, because technically, if you tried hard enough, you could find that link and pass it around for free. I'm not sure if anyone did. The one thing is that you get to see how many people are actually watching the show. And while there was a few of us watching very passionately online on Twitter, didn't seem like the catch caught a lot of people's attention, which was too bad, because it was, even if it had gone off, even with the problems it had, it was still a fun show and definitely worth the $6, I thought.
I'm impressed that they got a stream working. For me, it was flawless when the YouTube link was going from that building to get a stream going. It kind of means that they can do this kind of thing, because the Arena Aficion in Pachuca is kind of a crappy arena. So yeah. This provides hope for the future that, like, if Chairo, for example, ever wanted to stream a show, they could do it from Arena Naucalpan.
Yeah, it definitely proved that it was technically possible to do a stream. It's the login and the system of keeping secure, that's probably the part they had to work on. But I mean, just getting that on the air probably was a big challenge. And they did a lot to dress up the arena to feel like more of a big show, with the big monitor, with the light show they were doing. It felt like they kept the lights down, so it was tough to see how many people were there, but it seemed like it was really well attended, and it came off feeling a more modern show than you would have thought coming out of that arena.
Yeah, I was looking around on YouTube. I found the company, actually, that they hired to do the lighting and the to bring the big screen and everything. I can't find it right now, but so they actually went all out to make sure that this would look good, which is good, because usually in that building, I mean, it's just a plain building. It looked, with the ring was lit differently. It was like they had the spotlights. You know how it looked differently. You know, like it looked more like it's late. I can't think of words, but they had the big spotlight on it. Instead of just lighting it with the building lights, where you would have seen more of the crowd.
It's like what CML tries to do, but it seemed like a better job of doing it than what CML usually does.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, yeah, I thought that came off well. The announcing was good. We really just had, like, minor bumps of the stream once it was running. So it was just, once everything got working, it was a good experience. And hopefully people who watch on VOD have the same experience. It sounds like it'll be up right away. Because it's on YouTube, if they just want to leave it on YouTube, it could be up right away.
And they had promos on the big screen during some of the breaks between the matches. Yeah. And they had guests with Jose Manuel and Bernardo on commentary. They had Arrow Boy Talk, they had Negro Casas. At the end of the show, they brought out Ronnie Mendoza.
Yeah.
So it showed that, you know, they had something planned instead of just sitting there in silence. But you did get, unfortunately, you got a bunch of the silence because the breaks between the matches got longer and longer as the night went on, or it felt like it to me.
Especially because the show really started like 45 minutes late, and then we had another half hour delay as they tried to hold off, trying to get the stream working. So when we had those the breaks between the matches, which are like normal for an indie show, but it felt even longer when the clock's like 11, 12. At that point, you just kind of want them to speed up and get going. So that's one place they could improve, but that's probably a tough place just because they're just not used to doing it that way. But I think overall, I think it was a fun show. I think really, even if the wrestler show isn't accessible, people really should go back and watch and track down the free preview, because those three matches they had on there were all pretty good. And I was glad that they did air those after all.
Yep, that was very good. And then, of course, earlier in the day before the show started, they posted a trios match with Flamita and Negro Casas to build up to what was going to happen tonight.
Yeah,
That was a good idea.
it was Flamita, Arrowboy, and Blackfire, I think, was on that team versus Negro Casas, Mysko, and Hormiga. I may have Hormiga and Blackfire. And I watched that earlier today, and that was a pretty good match. And we actually got to see some of Blackfire and Hormiga, which was one of my problems when I was writing the preview, is that I had barely seen both those guys in a while. And I'm not sure after today, I'm not in a hurry to see more of them, but we'll get to that. The opener was the DTU Kids match with Archangel Negro, Mazito, and Irwin on one side versus Irwin, Leegee, and Danube Jr., who's their new chemist character. No one's broken the beaker yet, but we all know that spot is coming.
In the actual match listing, they had this as a 4-on-4
Yeah.
with a surprise DTU kid, but they changed things up, I guess. Maybe they couldn't find another DTU kid, or who knows what the plan was. But as usual, a fun match with the DTU kids. This is the match that, like, I wish more people would have watched. If you haven't seen it, you should go find it, because you can't go wrong with a bunch of little kids just flipping around and doing their dives. They had Ovette at ringside helping catch. He's actually the father of two of these kids, I think.
I think he's the father of the cheeky nerds, Irwing and Irwin.
And also Mazito, no?
Maybe they said he was father of four different people, so maybe him too.
Yeah, he.
No.
It'd be
These
funny
are
if he
if
was
you didn't see
father.
the match, these are like 10-year-old, 11-year-old kids doing a normal lucha match, including there was at least was Leegee who had the great token hero Hilo in the late in the match that looked awesome, but everyone really had good moments in that match.
Yeah, everyone did good. They didn't do like usually. You see them do on the spot shows, they do like dragon ranas and top rope Spanish flies and everything. This one was more basic stuff at the beginning, then they did their big dives, and then they went to the finish, which is fine, you know. And they got over, the fans threw money afterwards. I got no complaints about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably more choreographed even for Lucha than people used to, but because they're 10, 11, that makes a lot of sense and it works well. And, they had their slip-ups, but given their age, they were really impressive.
Well, I mean, this match provided the perfect opportunity to go on Twitter and point out every single kid in this match seems to be better than some of the rookies CMLL is tossing out with 7 years training.
Yes, I prefer the Archangel in this match than the Archangel we normally get, but
Definitely.
the second match in the show was a six-way, which I think the idea was they were all guys who had done good in the recent DTU seminar. The lineup we ended up with was Flyer Boy, Paradox, Toto, X-Boy, Fly Danger, and Danger Fly. And I think we need to point out here, a lot of people need to cut down on the fly name. No more flies, no more flyers.
There were a lot of flies on this show, yeah.
This was pretty good too. We had it worked as an elimination match with Flyer Boy beating Paradox at the end. Paradox was the guy with the white and black pants. I thought he looked pretty good, and they gave him a couple. They gave him most of the eliminations before the end.
Was X-Boy wasn't Moscow Sun, right?
Right, Moscow Sun did not wrestle in this match.
Yeah, I thought so. Because, yeah, his Moscow Sun is masked and this guy wasn't. But then X-Boy kind of goes with X-Fly, so I was confused at the
Yeah.
start.
No, this is like a small time Mexico State indie guy who just started with them with the seminar.
Seemed like Toto was the more advanced out of all these guys because he always seemed to be in the ring basing or taking moves.
Yeah. He's the other one they said was Ovette's son.
Oh, okay.
So
So he's probably the one that used to wrestle as Porrito.
it could be. That would make sense.
Think
Because
so.
they introduce him as carrying on the tradition of the Pororos or the newest Pororo kind of thing,
Right.
so that would fit. He was the biggest guy. Although again, these guys looked older than the first match, but these guys look like maybe 15, 16, 17, and they're still pretty far along, pretty exciting. lot of guys I've not seen. Who's the one who did the big dive? Was that Flyer? No.
It was like 4 hours ago, so.
Yeah. It's, I think it was, I'm looking at my notes here. I think it was Flyer Boy who had this, might have been a tornado to the floor.
No, that was Fly Danger.
Fly Danger. Yeah, too many flies. But yeah, they had, this is a lot of spots, but they had pretty good spots, and that's kind of all you want from an undercard match.
Yeah, the first three matches blended together in that sense. They all had, each match had their dive train going on. Each match had a bunch of crazy arm drags and head scissors. So yeah. when it happens like 4 hours ago, it's hard to keep it track. Even an hour after it happens, it's hard to keep track. But like you said, this is perfect for to start a show off. You just want to see all this excitement, people flying around. And I had no complaints about this either. I thought this was the opener, but the next match was better than this one, I thought.
Wow, I just misspelled podcast. I'm misspelled the recap today. It's pretty good. It's late. I'm just barely hanging in here. The third match was supposed to be a four-way tag, but the two women were not there, or maybe one of them wasn't there, and they didn't have a
problem.
Yeah, I know you were broken up about that. So it was a three-way tag with Tiburon from Veracruz and Camouflage, I think both from Veracruz, Castigor and Vengador. The guys from Cartero who show up on these cards often, and El Gladico and Dr. Pollux Jr., who are local guys who wrestle in this building a lot. And Pollux really stood out in this match for a guy that I don't think either of us have ever seen. Maybe you have. You've done more deep dives than I. But he had some great moments and a big dive and was just a fun guy to watch.
I've only seen him in the highlights and Mas Lucha posts of the DTU shows. He's been in a couple of those undercard, like 8 or 9 man matches. Yeah. But like you said, he was fantastic in this match. He had the big Brilio Cometa style dive.
Yeah.
He had a big somersault dive before that. Everybody got a big, they did a, I think it was Vengador who did the move where, like Angel Azteca's old dive where he stood on the second rope, jumped up to the top rope and did a moonsault to the floor.
Right.
And Exotico looked, I thought Exotico looked really good too. I was scared for his life when he did that slingshot somersault to the floor.
Yeah, because he knocked himself out in this arena doing that same dive a few years ago.
Remember that when we went to this arena to see DTU back in August of last year.
Yeah.
And that was his return show after, because it was a show before where he knocked himself out.
Yeah. So at least he did not, he came back in this one and he hit a coast to coast dropkick for the win, which was pretty impressive.
Who was the big guy was Tiburon, right?
Tiburon, yeah, the shark guy. And he did a dive too.
Yeah, for a big guy. That guy cleared the top row pretty easily.
Yeah.
He was very good in this match. I thought, and the crowd was really into it when he did like moves off the top rope just because of how big he is. It's naturally going to get over.
Yeah.
I thought this was the third best match on the show.
He stood out more than his partner. His partner, Camouflage, could have been Camouflaged a lot because he just... He was invisible. The Castigor and Vengador, we've seen them on these shows and on other indie shows, and sometimes they're repetitive. But I thought they had this one really great like 5 move sequence in the middle of the match that I thought was good, and they otherwise had a pretty good match. So I was really happy with how this one turned out.
This was a very professional match, and really, that's after having watched CMLL twice this week. Mm-hmm. Even just fast forwarding through, that's all I ask for.
Yeah. The Tuesday show is still sitting on my DVR, and I just can't bring myself to watch it. And I'm going to have to watch it. I'm going to do it.
I fast-forwarded through it in, like, just over 15 minutes total, and it's just a total disaster. That's why maybe if, like, CML was good, this DTU show wouldn't have stood out as big as it did. But like when I've been sitting to all these awful CMLL shows lately, to see something like a show like this where like every match guys were trying hard, crowd was into it, and it's professional, nobody's out there to sabotage things, just it's a breath of fresh air.
It really is. These three undercard matches especially were definitely everyone working together to try to have a great match, and it came across that way.
And these are already up on YouTube, so you can watch them anytime, even after you're done listening to this wonderful podcast.
Yes, they're up. They're for free. You may have to fast forward a little bit to get past the intro, but it's worth the fast forwarding. And it's just a fun match. I was serious. If people don't watch the DTU kids match, I'm just going to stop being friends with them. You just have to watch that match.
It sounds completely like you should definitely do that. That's completely justified.
Yeah, it's like 10 minutes. It's a fun time. It's so different than anything else. The proper show started, I think, like around 9:30 for an 8 o'clock start, which was kind of late. it was the
you're gonna have to fill me in here because I didn't join this match until about 10 minutes, and I would say close to 10 o'clock.
This was and we all caught the stream going as they were getting intros. This is obviously a case where they decided they couldn't keep people any longer and just went to a backup option because the first choice wasn't working. So the feed joined the intros in progress as they were moving on. And it was there
a message on the website?
There was eventually a message on the website. It wasn't there right away, but they got it up there during the show. It was.
How would you rate their communication compared to, like, because we've been here before when AAA's gone down and not communicated at all. We've been to CML not communicating at all.
I think it was good that they had a message up there explaining what the why things went bad, but while they were working on it, they were too caught up in working on it to let people know what was going on. The only good thing is that it only lasted a half hour and that we were so used to these things happening that I think I was not even like shocked when 15 minutes went by and they were still weren't up. But I think they could have used a tweet or a Facebook post saying this is what's happening. The other thing they need to fix is the ordering process, because not just we had the problem where we were paying for it, but we didn't know where our account name was or a password or anything. But also, I think people I noticed were paying for it multiple times. There's no confirmation that you bought it. This is your next step. You just kind of got dropped back to the main page and you weren't sure what had happened. So there are definitely things they can work on if they're going to do this again.
I did see that the Twitter account was people who during the show were complaining, the Twitter account was actually in contact with them saying, send us a direct message and we'll get back to you about a refund. So that's one good thing. Because with CMLL, that was my thing, is like the person who runs the Twitter has nothing to do with the person who was selling the iPay-per-view. So no matter how many times you message them, there's literally nothing the Twitter can do for you. At least here, they were trying to help and they were on the ball.
Yeah, once they had the stream running, it seemed like they were very responsive of helping people. And even before the show started, when people were having problems, they would get back to people right away and do it in their language. So they were trying to do this the best they could. It just didn't work out completely well at times. So the opener that you didn't see all of was the DTU Originals versus the New Guys. It was on the Originals, it was Pisidia, Jurassic Boy, Angel, Dominio, Aero Boy, and Crazy Boy as a special guest surprise, which makes sense, but you think they would just advertise Crazy Boy if Crazy Boy is going to be there. So everyone knew Crazy Boy was going to be there because he's Crazy Boy. The new team was Corsario Negro Jr., Loquillo, Moria, Nino de Cobre, and Tony Iron. And in the end, the Legends team was the one that won, where Aero Boy beat Nino de Cobre. But this is really felt much more about showcasing the new guys who all got their big moments during the match and looked competitive against guys that normally you wouldn't assume they would be competitive against.
Yeah, they all looked good, except Corsario Negro Jr., he was only okay, but he did have one cool move near the end of the match, and it turned into an elimination match. Nino de Cobre did a flip dive where he was going like 100 miles per hour. Moria looked really good. Loquillo is a really good wrestler. I wish people would see more of him. I wish he would have lasted till the end here, but for when he was in there, he looked good. And like you said, the veterans gave them a lot. The veterans were specifically out there to help the young guys, which is another CML comparison where CML is the direct opposite, where the veterans are not there to help the young guys at all.
Yeah, I mean, in CML, Crazy Boy is not getting pinned first, and he's not getting pinned first by a young guy in the other team. And same thing with Angel Adominio. He's going to get his big wins and not just get powerbombed by Corsario Negro and eliminated. they got their moments, especially Angel Dominio had this run of spine busters on people that looked cool, but they work with the context of the match to make the opposition look good too.
Yep, Crazy Boy has gotten bigger, and I don't mean bigger as in taller.
No.
I was kind of surprised at how big he's gotten, but he moved around, I mean, just fine. I'm just surprised that he's like going to be the new Nino Hamburguesa soon.
That's harsh, but
no, but he was moving. I mean, I'm not saying he was out of shape. I mean, he was out of shape, but he wasn't out of shape to the point where it affected the match. He still did all his moves, and he was working fine with guys who were like half his size, so that's fine.
Yeah. Nino de Cobre is the guy they most focused on the young side. He got the pin over Pesadilla, he got the code run on Jurassic Boy, and he lasted the end before Aero Boy beat him. I thought he looked spectacular. I'm not sure your guy Moria might be a little bit better, but I think Cobre is like a prospect that they can do something with the future.
Yep.
Tony Iron did not stand out as much as he did in the other matches, but I thought he was good too. And Lokio looked good. Lokio did some good stuff early.
Yeah, Moria did that crazy dive where it's just a tope suicida through the first and second rope, except the guy who takes it is lying on the ground. So you're basically doing a tope onto the ground, which is fucking ridiculous.
There were a lot of crazy dives on the show, especially early on. Especially like guys taking dives as they fall backwards on what looks like steps or something. Even though I don't think there's steps in that arena, but they were just people were going for it on all the dives, and they were coming off pretty well. Only one person had trouble doing a spectacular move, but he wasn't a DTU guy.
I actually think this match being so fast paced and so good affected the next match.
Oh yeah, you could even look at Broder. The first four matches were all, to some extent, big spot fests, and then they tried to slow it down and do more of a story in the next couple matches, and that might have hurt the reception to those matches. The fifth match on the show was the first title match, was Blackfire versus Hormiga. This one, I think, was the first slightly disappointing match. They did not, there were times where they didn't seem like on the same page, especially near the finish, and Blackfire won with one, but kind of like wandered off angry after the finish and grabbed his belt. It was a very strange way for that match to end.
Yes, there was lots of things about this match I didn't understand. I didn't understand why the crowd was so unhappy at that, because they were chanting Otra Lucha, the same thing when we went to the Chairo show and it was Volador versus Rey Horus. But at least that crowd gave Volador and Horus a chance and the match wasn't going good, so then they turned on it. Yeah. In this case, they turned on it like a minute in. They were chanting Ocha Lucha and Lucha Extrema. So they were just completely out of patience with whatever they were doing wrong. I don't even know what they were having a really basic match for the first minute or two.
Yeah. But you could tell it got to him. There was the dive at the end by Hormiga where Blackfire just did not sell at all. He's kind of walked away after taking it. He didn't take him up. And then crawled back in the ring. So the only thing I figure is that, because these guys both primarily just wrestle in DTU and they don't show up much elsewhere, that to a crowd that's coming for an anniversary show does not see these guys as stars worthy of the singles match. And they did not, I'm not sure if they could have won the crowd over in the first couple of minutes, but they were, by having a basic match, it became harder for them to get the crowd on their side.
Yeah, and then I didn't understand the finish at all. They had the referee get pulled into the way of a flying elbow drop, but it didn't affect the finish at all. The referee just got up afterwards and counted, like nobody cheated, nothing. Blackfire just hit his move twice in a row, I think, and won.
Yeah, originally Blackfire had the visual pin, and then he just did his move, just killed Hormiga with like three straight moves and won dominantly. So it was like a reoccurring pattern on the show where there would be some sort of weird, there would be interference or something where they usually do it to protect someone for a loss, except it would just be a kick out and they would just keep on going. And it was, I don't know if they were like purposely subverting the expectations or if they were just being weird. I could see both things.
I had this as the weakest match on the show overall.
I could see that. I wasn't a big fan of Halloween Ovet, but this match was not so great. The next match, though, I thought was probably a little better than I thought it was going to be was the Dragon Rojo and Pulver versus El Junior and Gio match. It was a cheers match, which made it like three other matches on the show. Except I think they made the point of saying it was a cheers match because they brought the cheers into play early and often in the match. The one memorable low light in this match was Dragon Rojo going for a springboard dropkick and not really getting much spring on it and tumbling out of the ring. But otherwise, I thought the match went pretty good. The CML guys worked hard on the show. The young DTU Rudos tried to make a name for themselves by taking some crazy stuff. There was the incredible Pulver Jr. like spot off the apron into 500 chairs that I think left Junior down for the rest of the show. It was an entertaining just collection of violence.
Poor Dragon Rojo, he must have been nervous because I messaged him earlier telling him that we'll be watching from all over the world.
Yeah.
And then I saw on Twitter, Liger Fever thinks that that was a planned spot where he fell off the ropes, but I'm saying no way. He wanted to hit that dropkick. That was his whole big move he was setting up, and then he just stumbled to the floor. That kind of sucked, but the match itself was good. I mean, I got no complaints. It was, like you said, it was better than I thought it would be, for sure. The DTU guys looked really good. They had some nice tag moves. Even Dragon Rojo and Pulver looked good doing tag stuff, which makes me want to see more of them in tag action, but I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And that spot off the apron, the Death Valley driver through the chairs was crazy. I thought the finish was perfect. It was brutal. The double stomp off the top with all the chairs on top of Gio.
Yeah. Gio was pretty much on his own for like a couple minutes there, but they let him keep on fighting and keep making comebacks. And I think this did a lot to establish them as more than just like miscellaneous guys on the roster. It probably was too soon for them to win the tag team titles, but you could bring them back and have them challenge again, and I think people would be okay to see it.
There was that great spot. I think maybe the fourth near fall before the finish where like Dragon Rojo was covering Gio and instead of kicking out, he tied up his legs and turned it into a submission.
Oh yeah. That was really, pretty cool.
Really smooth. I like that a lot.
Yeah. They showed some good mat wrestling, which I was not expecting out of them. Just pulling guys in the holds early in the match. And then that spot later on. The match following that was supposed to be Halloween with the Robot versus Charlie Manson. Or Charlie Rexar. Happened is that Ovette entered first, Halloween attacked him, and then Charlie Rexar's music never played because he wasn't actually there. It was not the title match it was supposed to be. There wasn't really any explanation of what's going on. It's Lucha Libre, and it's Lucha Libre Indies, so you just expect that at least one headliner doesn't show. And if it had to be one headliner on the show who didn't show, I was very okay with being Charlie Rockstar.
Was there an Elite show today? No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. I'll look this up. I'll look this up while you tell me what you thought of the match.
I was happy because it was short. I mean, I don't need to see these guys out there for any more than 10 minutes, and I think they barely went over 5 minutes. They got the blood out of the way quickly. They got a bunch of light tube shots going on. They had a Ovette who's actually, considering he's completely obese, is pretty mobile. He got up to the top rope with help from the ref. He did a big tope at one point and was caught by every single student at ringside because Halloween's not going to catch that shit.
Yeah.
This was another match. This was one of those matches tonight where they had a run-in that didn't really affect anything. Angelo Demonio came out from the back and hit Halloween with light tubes to set up Ovette beating him with a I think he put a bunch of light tubes on Halloween and then he did an elbow drop with a barbed wire bat off the top rope.
Yeah, first Halloween kicked out after the interference, if I remember right. And then Ovette just did one more spot and won anyway. So it was very random, but Ovette winning is what people wanted to see. So they got that. And then Halloween did a big speech praising Ovette and giving him this random trophy afterwards. was never explained. The title situation was explained, but I don't think anyone really is that bothered by that DTU title. And I think people who wanted to get the blood and wanted to see the lamp spots out of this were probably pretty happy. It was just an okay match, I thought.
As I noted, me and you were in the building for Halloween's Extreme Lucha Retirement match.
Yes. And then he changed it specifically saying it was his extreme retirement in DTU, that he would never have another DTU extreme match. So this must have not been an extreme match that we saw tonight. It must have been something else.
Well, listen, you got to pay the bills, I guess.
Yeah. He did seem like he was moving okay. Because part of the reason that was his last, it was supposed to be his last extreme match before, was he wasn't moving okay. So maybe that's a good sign. And also, it looked like his head shaved. So I'm like, there's a hair match. I must be missing the Howling loss of hair.
Yeah.
Was that the Tijuana match from like a month ago, maybe?
Could be.
It was like, yeah, could be.
Hey, I got a trivia question for you. In his retirement match, it was Halloween versus Damien versus Ripper versus who?
One Man Crew.
Wow, I can't believe you remember that.
You want to know how I remember this? Is because he was vanity searching and was favoring a tweet I made like a couple weeks ago.
Oh, really?
He went all the way back to that show and he was favoring tweets.
I wonder if he's listening to the podcast right now.
Only if we just include his name in the description. I had not thought about that guy until I saw that favorite pop up. And I was like, oh, I guess he's still around. Yeah. After that, I think probably the match I was like let down the most by was the Nerds versus the Diabolicos. It started off really good, I thought. Especially the tag rules, the 2-on-2 part. I thought it was a lot less high flying than you want of the Nerds, but they were fighting strong against their older enemies, and the blood was done well. It was Mr. Condor bled a whole bunch in this match, probably more than you want to. And so it was good until that first elimination where Jimmy beat Mr. Condor with Moonsault, and then everything else seemed like it happened rapid fire after that, including a completely random crazy border on it that didn't have anything to do with anything.
Yeah, Mr. Condor is one of those veterans that knows how to bleed because he was gushing blood even after the match. He, like you said, it started off good. It was going fine. And then, yeah, the eliminations just felt like they just wanted to get out of there or something. It was weird. I mean, I wouldn't call it a bad match or anything. It was very average. And honestly, until the match started, I thought for sure three guys were losing their hair in this match because they said there'd be one ultimate winner.
Yeah, if I had not seen that poster the next day that kind of implied there would only be one person involved, I would have been really disappointed. And even so, that's something that they really should have made clearer.
Yeah, maybe next time they'll learn from that because it was very confusing and it kind of didn't make sense that like the Nerd got the pinfall. It was Jimmy who got the pinfall to start, and then he left his friend alone versus the two Diabolicos. Mm-hmm. If they were smart, they should have ganged up on him and pinned him together.
Well, it seemed like Mr. Condor went out of the ring, so I don't know if he had to wait because he was eliminated, but that was another part that wasn't good. Maybe this was something that was being explained in Spanish that I was not following, but that whole sequence wasn't clear. And then having Kevin and Mr. Condor only go for like 3 minutes, if even that long, and like at least a minute of that was watching Crazy Boy walk out, hit Mr. Condor with a weapon, and Kevin covering him for a two count, and then everyone just goes on with their life. You want more. That's a place where you can do a lot of dramatics, and they really didn't take advantage of it. It didn't seem.
Yeah, overall, kind of a letdown. Probably the second weakest match on the night, right above Blackfire Hormiga.
Yeah, I think I'd still have it above Halloween Novet, but it's in that same range. The last normal match of the night was the three-way with Flamita, Negro Casas, and Ronnie Mendoza. This is the one where I actually remember to time it. It was only like 11 minutes and 30 seconds, but they packed so much stuff in that time.
I thought it was longer than that.
Yeah, it was. They were going like double speed the whole time. Negro Casas, I think there's always concern when you see him, maybe on any show, but especially any show, how much he's going to want to do it. It's not like he's a lazy guy, but he's also a guy in his 50s who's got to pick his spots just naturally. And he was going for it, this one. I mean, it wasn't like he was doing the crazy dives that we saw the young guys do earlier, but he was moving fast. He was trying to find every single way he could get in his roll-up and get that win and steal it from the other guys. He was trading shots with Mendoza and Flamita. And then he put over Flamita cleanly to his own hold at the end.
Yeah, this was one of those matches just – Negro Casas is ageless. Doesn't matter what his age is. He's just He's hanging with guys that are one third his age. You can tell that he really puts thought into what he does, because that whole, they did multiple sequences during the match teasing the casita. And then when Flamita finally got him with it, it was this big complicated sequence that led into it. So it's not just Casas saying, just do my move and eliminate me. It's Casas trying to teach these guys something as they go over him, which means a lot more in the long run.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of reversals. It was back and forth. You know, if any, all the reversals felt like it could have ended at that point. It wasn't like they were doing the Guerrero Malenko series of roll-ups. Everyone knows, oh, this is me two count, this is me two count. They're just doing two counts for fun. This was a lot of just close, intense countering until Casas was finally trapped at the end. And then what wasn't clear until it happened is that this was going to be an elimination match. So we got the bonus few minutes of Ronnie Mendoza versus Flamita, which is really cool to see.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping, because when they announced this match, I was hoping it'd be something like this, because, you know, like you said, Negro Casas, it's not that he's lazy, it's just he picks his spots, he knows what to do. And I figure if he could do his thing, get out of there, and then we could see Flamita Ronnie Mendoza, which is a first-time match, so it went exactly how I wanted. And holy crap, that spot where Flamita did the Super Frankensteiner and Ronnie just 360'd onto his own feet, that was insane.
He nailed that landing. There were spots where people were trying to do the flip-out escape and land on their feet from a lot simpler moves and struggling with them earlier on. But Ronnie takes his top rope Frankensteiner, lands right on his feet and just keeps on going. It was just amazing. Ronnie survived the Phoenix Splash in that too, and ended up, was it the backcracker that he went with? I know there was like three or four moves right at the end where they just were killing each other and getting back up and killing the other person. And I think it was the backcracker that Ronnie won at the end.
Yeah, Flamita did the reverse Frankensteiner and Ronnie did the power up.
Yeah.
And then hit the backcracker.
I'm sorry, but that Frankensteiner was so scary too. He drilled him with that.
The thing about Flamita is he's another guy who's like way, way advanced beyond his age, because he knows also how to pick his spots. He didn't do a dive in this match. He didn't do much high flying, but it doesn't matter. He's just so good that you never felt like he was like mailing it in or anything. He's so smooth with everything he does. He knows how to time it perfectly. I want to see him and Ronnie in a longer singles match at some point.
Oh, yeah. When Ronnie got the microphone right after the match, I was hoping that it was setting up that he was getting it to set up a challenge between the two and just come back with that show. Because I would instantly buy that one right away. But it was more thanks everyone for supporting DTU kind of speech. But
yep,
still.
Best match of the night for me.
Best match for me too. This is the match. This is the kind of match that you would see Black Terry post the highlights on his YouTube channel and instantly pay $4 for it, whatever the price, and you would be completely happy with that purchase. And so you got, if that's $4 match, then the rest of the show is easily worth the other $2. So this was worth the whole $6, to be honest. It was exactly what you wanted to get out of this match.
And we should note that even after he was eliminated, Negro Casas stayed at ringside for the finish, helped both guys up, raised their arms, and then left and let them have the spotlight.
Yeah. That's
called being a professional.
If you're like a promoter like DTU, you're just like, this is what you hope you get out of every big name you bring in, but it usually doesn't happen, because he could not have been any better for DTU than he was here.
Mm-hmm.
We had one more pause as they had you take down the top and the middle ropes, but not the bottom ropes to put up barbed wire. We got promos from the current DTU champion and Freedoms, whose name I forget, but probably doesn't really matter because he probably won't be champion much longer. And
Tadashi something?
Yes. And then we have Medio Extremo, who is challenging him on Christmas Day or the day after, and probably, assumably, will win the belt back as he comes back from Japan. But I think that was a nice touchdown to get video promos. And I wouldn't mind getting like more of those kind of things to explain who these people were and that kind of thing. But at least to get the stuff from Japan, to get the DTU champion on the DTU anniversary show makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
The main event of the show was the tag team barbed wire match for Rancho de Texas, with Cyclope and Crazy King versus Paranofio and Taxico. Crazy King, within like 45 seconds of the match starting, takes a backdrop over the barbed wire into like a flip to the floor and just lands in this horrible manner. It was the craziest thing, and the match goes on for 15 more minutes. But the guy, it would have been fair if the guy just stayed down, never got up after that bump.
I thought he was dead. The way he landed, the way Toxico like immediately went to check on him, like, oh shit, the match is over already. But he got up, and these guys are crazy. So I mean, I guess I shouldn't be too surprised. But that spot especially caught me out of nowhere.
This was a complete spectacle match, with just craziness with the barbed wire, with people with the D2 trainees, there's D2 staff having to free both Piranoco and Taxico from the barbed wire at times, from people putting like barbed wire crowns in each other's heads, lots of light tubes placed inside of shirts, and then the shirt, and then people kicking the light tubes broken from the outside, kind of deal. A Ricky Ladder that we had earlier seen in the Nerds Diabolicos match coming back in an amazing way at the end of this match.
Yeah, they also, one of my favorite spots in the match was they were doing a bunch of chair shots on Toxico, like right to the head, but he put up his hand to block the first three, but then didn't even bother on the fourth, which ended up being the hardest of them all. So why would you even bother blocking the first three if you're not going to block the hardest?
You know, it's just tough to keep your hand up. Sometimes you just get tired.
Listen, if you don't like this type of match, I mean, obviously you're not going to like it, but I like this. I thought, considering what it was, if I'm perfectly fine with a match like this, one on every show, and not seeing it every week. You know, like, this is like the first time I've seen a match like this, probably since the last full DTU show I've seen.
Yeah, and this is like that main event. I mean, the Cyclope was in that match that we saw live, and it's the same deal as that. This is not the kind of match I seek out, but it's such an over-the-top spectacle that you can't help but appreciate it as a really entertaining thing. You just hope everyone's just not killing themselves as bad as it looks.
Right. They took Cyclope did a razor's edge into the corner, took a razor's edge into a corner, which is a good thing they left that bottom rope up, because he actually had somewhere to land instead of just crashing into the ring post. Yeah. And there was a Death Valley driver into the corner. There was that crazy spot at the finish where the ladder was one of these old school ladders where you have to lean it against something. So they leaned it from the floor against the ring post, and then had all the trainees at ringside holding up the ladder so that Cyclope could jump off of it. And he got a two count the first time, and then the second time he got a three off a splash, right?
He did a frog splash on the light tubes onto whichever guy he landed on. And that was three. Because the first time he did it, I couldn't believe that wasn't the finish, because how can you top that? And then he had light tubes and did it again. And that's how you top it.
Yeah, it was, for me, it was the third best match of the night. The crowd, you know, no matter what you say about this type of match, it was clear that this was what the crowd wanted to see. The crowd was probably the loudest they were all night for all the spots in this match. The barbed wire was super over right from the beginning. Whenever someone touched it, the crowd reacted.
Yeah, and this is a match that did not start until, like, after midnight local. So it was plenty of reason for people to check out on the show or just to get tired. And I did start to feel tired, especially during the long pause in between matches. But the crowd was still way into it. They stuck the whole way, and they were very happy with what they got out of that match.
I was too, definitely. Good way to end the show. They did their post-match promos thanking the crowd. They got a lot of money thrown, I saw, after this match, too.
Yeah, they deserved it. I think this match, the first match and the third match were the ones who got the money in, but I think it's just that they kind of got out of the habit of throwing money after some of the other matches.
Three-way got it, too.
Okay, I didn't know. So, yeah, but that they deserved it for sure. Overall, good time. It was a fun experience. I was a little disappointed that more people didn't end up watching the show, but I think people, a 9 o'clock start on a Thursday is a tough ask for a promotion that hasn't successfully done an IPV before. I think that scared people away. But I think if you're on the fence about seeing it and you want to and you were considering checking on VOD, I think it's definitely worth your time to go do that.
Yeah, I had a good time watching it. I think it's a good sign that something like this can actually take place. It opens up a lot of possibilities for the future when it comes to lucha shows.
And they were definitely hinting at this was like the first of shows. They didn't give any details, but they said, but they imply that there would be a next time. So hopefully there will be.
Yep, and we need to make a special mention, of course, that for the Mas Lucha guys who had a lot to do with producing this and somehow managed to do commentary on 10 straight matches over the course of almost 5 hours without losing their voice.
And Jose was doing both the commentary and then he would get off mic to do the ring announcing when someone was eliminated, which was pretty amusing. I think they might want to spare an extra person next time, but he seemed to handle it okay.
I feel like I'm going to be, I'm going to bed like 5 minutes after we shut down this podcast. And I feel like I'm going to be dreaming about his voice all night because even before this DTU show, I was watching CMLL on the Fight Network where he was doing commentary. He's going to be haunting my dreams.
There should be worse things. There are worse announcers to be haunting your dreams.
Oh,
So
definitely. And then, and
this is
also, we should thank DTU, of course, because DTU, is actually making progress, unlike some indie groups in Mexico who don't want to have their shows seen by people for some reason.
yeah, this is and having an IPV did not seem like it hurt their attendance at all. We'll see
No.
if that inspires them to keep it up, and hopefully they make good at it and other people will try things like this. Because
Did you see the highlights that Mas Lucha posted of the four-way from Lucha Boom last week in the same building?
no, I did not.
The show outdrew the show headlined by Caristico, Phoenix, Volador, and Cavernario.
Wow. I think it's part of it's the anniversary, and part of it's a hardcore thing is still pretty big. And part of it's DTU just kind of means a little bit more, I think, at this point.
Very impressive, though.
Yeah. So this probably was a little quicker than I thought it was going to go, but it's also 1:24 my time, 2:24 your time, and we got to get up to do something tomorrow. We'll probably be back before long to do like a normal podcast, but this seems like it went okay. Thank you for the four viewers who are listening right now. Now three. I guess I can't think of that four person because they're gone. Thank you for the people who are listening to this when I put this out as a normal podcast. We may do this again down the road if there's like another show to do it with, but it seems like it's a decent experiment. And we'll probably be back with a normal podcast. I don't know. Maybe soon, maybe not soon, whenever we figure it out.
Yep.
Thanks for doing this, Rob.
Thank you.
Okay. And thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys again later.